And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I also go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. Nothing, brother. What are you up to?
Nothing. I'm just surprised, jumping right in here. Big comments today from Paul Feinbaum. He basically called out Jalen Hurts, saying he's not even in competition to start anymore. He's basically in competition to save his backup job.
What about that, man? I thought that was crazy. Do you got the quote that he said?
Yeah, we're going to play it for you right here.
Based on what I've heard, and select boosters get to go to these scrimmages on the weekend, and they're not allowed to tweet or text or tell anyone what they said, even though several have told me. I don't know how much longer Nick Saban is going to be able to camouflage this quarterback competition.
So what did you learn?
The Tua is going to be the starter.
So he got most of the reps this weekend during the
scrimmage?
He
looked very good, mm-hmm. And one person indicated to me that right now there's a competition for backup.
All right, Shane, so Mac Jones, who's never started a game, never seen SEC action, could potentially take Jalen Hurts' job as the backup. What are your thoughts on hearing that?
Jeez, I think they're prepared, man. You know, I think, and I think this may be the last time boosters go to practice.
Yeah, I don't know this for a fact, but I have heard that Tua threw 3 touchdowns, no interceptions in the recent Alabama scrimmage, and Jalen Hurts threw 3 interceptions. So,
oh shit, see you, Jalen. Sorry, buddy.
If that's true, I mean, I think that's basically where these people are getting it. But you know, you and I have both been a firm believer that Jalen Hurts is, you know, a good teammate, solid guy. He's said all the right things. Even that little outburst he had was really. Wasn't calling out his teams. I think he was just calling out the coaching staff for kind of letting this thing bubble up. I think if he's third string, I mean, I think that would be too embarrassing for almost anyone to take.
Yeah, for sure, man. I really do. Do we see him? Is he going to play this year, you think?
I mean, not if he's third string. I don't know. I mean, the only reason I could see him hitting the field would be potentially in, like, some – goal line or wildcat, or I don't know, but that just seems wild to me. I couldn't see, like, you know, hopefully this doesn't happen, but if, let's say, Tua gets injured, gets knocked out, you really think they'd put in Mac Jones over Jalen Hurts?
I don't know, man. I mean, we're talking about back conversations here. You know, this may be something that they talked about, you know, maybe not burning his red shirt, you know, maybe 4 games. You know, maybe that's the magic number, but I mean, he's not going to burn that. He doesn't want to burn that coming in 1 or 2 plays a game just to make, you know, some option read, you know?
Yeah. So this is going to continue to be a interesting situation down in Tuscaloosa, to be sure. You know, they may not be tested for the first couple weeks, maybe not even the first couple months, but if they are, this is just going to be wild, especially if Ole Miss or Texas A&M gives Alabama a game.
They say Mac's a hell of a quarterback too. I haven't seen him play, but you know, who knows? Maybe he's in a better position than Jalen. You know, because if his head ain't right, then you may not want him back there.
Yeah, but it's my feeling that these quarterbacks, you know, until they see the field, they're all awesome. You know.
Oh yeah.
All right, speaking of quarterback competition.
Quarterback challenge!
Go down to Gainesville. We got a little bit of action down there. Obviously, the Gators, they're in their own quarterback competition between Felipe Franks, Kyle Trask. And we got a little bit of a nugget. I thought this was pretty interesting. The former Florida quarterback, Luke Del Rio, he had a Periscope video today, and he noted that he's spoken to people within, he wouldn't name who he spoke to, but he said they've seen it with their own eyes, so take that for what it's worth. And those people have told him that Felipe Franks is ahead in the competition. The competition's not over, but they say there's a sizable lead between Franks and Trask. They say Trask is still pushing Franks, but that's where that thing stands. And they say Emory Jones, basically, kind of like I've told you on here, like a great athlete, but keeps making freshman mistakes. So it doesn't seem like he's anywhere near ready to hit the field. What are your thoughts on Florida rolling out Mr. Oklahoma drill, Felipe Franks?
I think we got a lot of snitches in the SEC. That's what I think. You know, this is the thing, man. We talked about this. Some of these teams do not have competition. They're saying it's lip service. They're trying to, you know, get the team to play better, get the quarterback to play better. And I think me and you've both been saying this all along, that these two are going to be the starters, Tua in Alabama, then now Frank's here in Florida. I think the thing is, you got your first scrimmage under your belt. You know, you got to start working on your rapport with your receiver. So it's time to make that decision. You don't want to wait till week one to say, okay, this guy's my starter, and you split all those practices with a guy that's not even going to be playing. So I think this is where you're going to start seeing the separation. So you're going to start seeing more news leaking out like this. And I'm not surprised at all that Dan's going with more like a seasoned. I know he's just – what, is he just a junior?
No, Felipe Franks is actually a redshirt sophomore.
Oh, okay. So, but he's more seasoned, and that doesn't surprise me. You know, you don't want to roll out any type of true freshman in week one.
Yeah, and I don't know much about Trask. I don't think we've never really seen him play. I believe he redshirted last year, but I remember this. When he got recruited and signed by Florida, he did not start in high school at quarterback. He was a backup quarterback in high school.
Oh, Lord.
So, I mean, I don't know if not to trash Trask, hey, that rhymes, but, you know, I just don't know if he has what it takes to be a quarterback in the SEC, and if Felipe Franks is this far ahead of him, I think that's kind of saying all we need to know about him.
Oh, for sure.
Well, one other quick note on Florida, cause they got some good news. Shane must be loving all these SEC East teams getting good news on the at receiver. But Van Jefferson, the Ole Miss transfer, who was already cleared by the NCAA, he got his waiver granted by the SEC, and he needed that because he was transferring from one SEC school to another, and he would not have been able to play without this waiver. So thoughts on Van Jefferson getting his waiver from the SEC?
Golly, everybody's getting transfers but us. So, no.
Well, Tennessee got Brandon Kennedy, so he would not have been able to play without a similar waiver.
Okay. Yeah, we got a lineman. They got an offensive threat out there. So, no, that's huge for him. I mean, like, again, he's got experience. You know, it probably won't take him long to get used to things down there. So, just another weapon for Franks coming out. So, good for them, man.
Yeah, if they get anything out of Felipe Franks, they should have a decent offense, because he's surrounded with talent. If he can't get it done, I think it's time for Florida to move on from him.
Oh, for sure. And honestly, I think there's going to be more shootouts down there, so they need weapons now more than ever.
All right, sticking in the SEC East, let's go down to Columbia, South Carolina. You knew this was going to happen after Will Muschamp called out the media and defended his buddy DJ Durkin, only to have Durkin suspended. We touched on that last episode. Muschamp had his media availability on Monday, and that was one of his first questions. It was not a good look for him, so he was asked about it. So let's play this clip from Will Muschamp.
Well, I think, first of all, my thoughts and prayers are with the McNair family. You know, I can't imagine, as a father, of losing my son or a son. It is a horrific situation, a tragic situation. I don't know what else to say. I was talking about DJ Durkin, a man that I know very well Saturday. I know him as a coach, I know him as a husband, I know him as a father. And I find it hard to believe some of the things that I read in that article about DJ Durkin.
All right, Shane, so Will Muschamp, you know, I think he obviously realized he kind of screwed the pooch there last week. Thoughts on his comments from today?
Yeah, after that conference the other day, he got a text from the AD and said, WTF, meet me in my office. I guarantee there was about four or five old guys in there telling them that was not a good idea. So you could definitely tell he didn't want to talk about the subject. You know, he had to address it if it came up. And that was about, honestly, as quick as he could get off the question I've ever seen.
Yeah, and you know we've all seen the clips of Muschamp. He's an extremely fiery guy. I've seen the videos of him in the locker room going wild. I don't think he wants to associate himself with you know risking players. Well, I mean, I know he doesn't want to risk you know associating with players dying or you know being put in a bad situation by a football program. And everything I've heard about Muschamp, aside from those videos we see. You know, the players and the people that work for him love him. He's a great guy. That I think that just the passion of football is clearly within him. But I think once he kind of stepped back and saw his comments, he knew he kind of had to make those right. And I think this is a good move here. And I think it'll just allow South Carolina to move on from this.
Yeah, I think so. Put it behind them. Let's talk about their program, not someone else's.
All right, sticking in the SEC East, let's jump to Knoxville. Jeremy Pruitt was on the Paul Feinbaum show today, and I don't know if you got a chance to check it out, Shane, but it was kind of what we've come to expect from Jeremy Pruitt. You know, he kind of evades answers. He gives kind of definitely doesn't do cliches, but he just kind of says a lot without revealing anything. What were your thoughts from Pruitt's appearance on the Paul Feinbaum show?
I think Pruitt's becoming Saban 2.0. You know, he is – like when he first came up and he did the opening conference he took the job, he was excited. He was talking about his family and all this stuff. And I'm telling you, man, in the next few months, he's kind of turned into an asshole when he's talking to media. You know, he does not like to talk to him, or he likes to portray that. And he's not going to give you anything. I mean, trying to find something out of him in one of these conferences is pretty hard.
Yeah, this one clip was particularly interesting. This is Paul Feinbaum quizzing Jeremy Pruitt on if he means to be so selective with everything he says. This is kind of clever. You can't see it, obviously, but Jeremy Pruitt, he didn't laugh, but Feinbaum got at least a smile out of him.
Okay, well, then my next question is, football coaches are very goal-oriented. Is it your goal whenever you do an interview to give away as little as possible?
No, I just think that I just try to answer the questions to the best of my ability.
And that's being Coach, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that you have developed this knack very proficiently, and it's the mark of a really good coach not to give anything away to the media. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'll give you a little more information next time.
Okay, Shane. So definitely, like you noted there, Pruitt's he's taken from Nick Saban in more ways than one. Not to say this is good or bad, because you know none of this really matters as long as he wins. I don't think this is ever going to get held against him, but it's just kind of interesting to see his how he develops in front of a camera.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, it's okay if you're winning, but if you're not, and you know you're having trouble with the media and you know the getting the fans involved and things like that, that could be a problem, you know. But if you're winning, then yeah, you can be as mean as you want or quiet as you want. Don't talk. We don't care as long as we got the W's.
Yeah, and I honestly thought Jeremy Pruitt was a little nervous his first time when he was introduced as Tennessee's coach. And I think, you know, it may have not shown at the time, but obviously, you know, Tennessee fans kind of latched on to his saying "I ate" like 57 times, whatever he said it.
Yeah.
He doesn't say it, you know, if you notice in these meetings, because in these availabilities, because I think he's not to say he's polished. I don't know if that's the right word, but I just think he's been coached up a little bit. He's much more comfortable. And I think that's noted by one of the last things he said. Feinbaum asked him about neutral site games. And, you know, he touched on, you know, the fact that he likes it, but I don't think he was really being truthful. I don't think he was really answering that question, because he said, you know, I like the neutral site games, especially if we're at a place where we recruit. The city of Charlotte is an area we're focused on. And I think more than anything, that was just alluding to the fact that Tennessee is after a five-star prospect out of Charlotte named Crouch. So I think there's definitely some genius behind all his, you know, aw shucks attitude. Thoughts on Pruitt using this opportunity to recruit?
He's slick, man. I'm telling you, he's slick. And I don't know if Crouch was watching that, but you know, that is going to be important. You know, say what you want, it's going to be in Charlotte. You know, we are heavily recruiting him, and maybe this will be something that he needs to see. Just, you know, how the fan base travels. It can't hurt, but any head coach just they like neutral site games is lying. Because who wouldn't want to be playing in Neyland Stadium, you know, week one?
Yeah, and I think even going on the road sometimes can really be helpful for your team. You know, obviously it's kind of like them, us against the world mentality. And I think that is also a you know, a really good experience for a lot of these guys to maybe go to a place like, you know, if Tennessee were to play Penn State or something. I would say most of the roster has never been to the state of Pennsylvania, you know, just things of that nature.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, you know me, I'm a huge fan of the home and home. I don't like neutral site games, but you got to give it to Pruitt. You know, he's always looking for an angle, and he found one there.
All right, Shane, sticking with Tennessee, one big note. A.J. Johnson got signed by the Denver Broncos today, and I was pleasantly surprised to see this. I think it's great that he's finally getting his opportunity 3 years after his college career came to an end.
Oh, for sure, man. And they'd be signed. I didn't expect him to be signed this year. I thought maybe this would be something he would, you know, try next year. Now, he's still got to make the team, don't he? I mean, they haven't even made their cuts yet.
Right.
So, who knows? He may get cut, but just the fact that he picked up the offer and he's up there in Denver, I don't know if Peyton had anything to do with that. He may have made a phone call or something.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, it's just great to see him get an opportunity finally, because, you know, it's been weighing on his mind. I know he's been staying in shape. He made those comments after his exoneration. He said he's ready to go. So if he really is and finds his way onto that roster, he projected as I don't think he was anywhere near like a first round pick, but I think he was clearly a draft selection coming out of Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
He can make some noise there for Denver Broncos.
He was a beast, man. They even had him on offense a couple of times. He got his shot. He's, you know, he's been out of football for a couple of years now, dealing with this situation that he got involved with. And he was found not guilty. So NFL to give him a chance. And I hope he shines, you know, because, you know, in college, I could have seen him in the third, fourth round getting drafted, you know. He mm-hmm. could have made a roster. He could have played for several years. So, I mean, you don't see too many second opportunities. So you kind of root for him when they do get a shot.
Yeah, definitely. I think he would have had a couple of years of NFL experience under his belt at this time. So, you know, it's mysterious how things work out. But hopefully, you know, he makes the best of this, of finally getting his opportunity. It makes up for lost time.
For sure.
All right, Shane, let's leave this division, go to the SEC West. I thought these comments were particularly interesting from SEC analyst Chris Doering. He was breaking down Mississippi State's schedule, and he's got Mississippi State going 11-1 with the only loss coming to Alabama. I can't even finish that thought without you laughing. So we clearly know what you think of that.
Who the hell is this guy?
Oh, Chris, hot take Chris Doering here. You think he's just trying to get some attention?
Yeah, he's trying to get some followers on Twitter. That's what he's trying to do. There's no way. I put my mortgage or my house payment saying that they're going to win some games this year. They're going to surprise a few people. But, yeah, I can't see them losing less than three games.
So you just lost us all our Mississippi State followers.
You want to start that one over?
I was just kidding. Yeah, I'm pretty high on Mississippi State. We've kind of touched on that repeatedly, but even I think 11-1 is probably a bit too unrealistic. Now, I wouldn't say shocked if they go 11-1. I would be very surprised. I think they're going to win 9 games, but I think 10 games, 10-2, I could see that. 11-1, I'm just not quite sure where he's getting that. I think he's putting a little bit too much expectations on old Joe Moorhead and his new program there.
Yeah, I'm thinking like 9-3, you know, somewhere around that ballpark. And to say that's a bad season, you know, Tennessee would love to have 9-3. So, no, I think they'll be in good shape, but they're not going to just lose one game. I can tell you that.
All right, Shane, let's kick over to Arkansas. And just a quick note, Arkansas, potentially their starting tight end, Jeremy Patton, had to leave practice and he came back in a walking boot. It seems like every episode we're doing, we're talking about an Arkansas guy getting hurt.
Golly, they can't win for losing.
I know. I just think this is going to be tough. This guy was a touted recruit. I believe he was a 4-star when he signed with Arkansas. He's got a ton of talent. He never did much in the Brett Bielema system, but he looked like he could be an ideal fit for Chad Morris' offense. Is there any chance that Arkansas is going to go to a bowl game if these injuries keep happening?
I'm telling you, is there any chance some of these guys can play both ways? You know, because that's what they're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just like I hate to keep harping on the same subject, but it just seems like it's going to be very, very rough for Chad Morris in his year one. And I think a lot of these injuries, you can chalk it up to, you know, there's just not much behind these guys. And that obviously that's kind of the fault of Bielema and his recruiting and development. So even if things get rough there in Arkansas this year, I hope the fan base does not lose faith in Chad Morris, because I think he'll have that thing going in a year or two.
Yeah, and that's tough, man. It's tough when you're thin, trying to change everything, trying to switch things over, get a new culture in there. And to start out, I mean, we ain't even kicked off, and they've already lost half their team, you know. So I don't know, man. Maybe they need to go back to just shoulder pads only or something.
All right, final team we wanted to touch on here, Ole Miss. You know, I found interesting prop bets for the receiver A.J. Brown. We kind of did some of these with Nick Fitzgerald last week, and I thought these were particularly interesting because they've got A.J. Brown at over or under 13.5 touchdowns and over under 1,300.5 yards. I mean, that's pretty incredible for, you know, a 12-game season in college.
Yeah, for sure. Which one do you like? Because I like over.
I mean, I was going to say that because, you know, when Jordan Te'amu came in here, I continue to talk about what a good player he is. The final three games of the season, with Jordan Te'amu starting at quarterback for Ole Miss, he hooked up with A.J. Brown 27 times for 422 yards and 4 touchdowns. So,
gee.
I mean, they're just going to, like, set some SEC records if they can keep that up. So, I think you're smart going over. Obviously, you just got to hope the guy doesn't get injured, but he was healthy all year last year, and he's just a beast. I think this will probably be his final year in the SEC, and then I think he'll be off to the NFL. I think it's going to be a huge year for Brown.
I think this is his draft season, you know, and he's got a lot to prove. He wants to be a top pick, you know, and I think Ole Miss is going to find themselves in a lot of shootouts as well, playing from behind, and that only benefits, especially if you're just looking at yards and touchdowns, that benefits the passing game the most. And who better to throw to than Brown, you know?
All right, Shane, before we jump off here, because this is kind of a short one, but we wanted to give a shout-out to one of our listeners sent us a comment. So you got that handy?
I do, brother. Daniel Singh, great podcast y'all going on, man. It helps me stay sane on some of these long work drives. So I hope today wasn't a long work drive. I hope it was a 35-minute drive, you know. But, you know, it's Monday. Not a lot coming out right now. Hopefully we'll have some more stuff for y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, guys, we appreciate all the listeners. Appreciate you, Shane, joining me on this latest edition of That SEC Podcast. And if you would not mind, you made it this far, please give us a 5-star hearts on iTunes. It really helps us out, and we appreciate every single one of those.
For sure. And tomorrow we're also going to dive into some questions I've had sent in. So if you got any more, feel free to tweet me or SEC Mike.
All right, Chan, I'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you, buddy. Go Vols.